little bit of a development here. Ross Dellinger is reporting that the College Football Players Association announces that is support for a non-employment CBA model for the sport. So Jack Swarbrick and others within the industry believe it is a solution. They will have to, there'll be some congressional stuff that is involved here. And I mean, this isn't going to happen overnight. But if I'm an athlete and this is kind of like, this is me, basically. I have a ton of, the 1099s, mm-hmm. where yeah. I do games for, let's say, I do games for Sinclair Broadcasting, mm-hmm. but I'm not an employee of Sinclair Broadcasting. So without being an employee, but I still get paid, I mean, isn't that the kind of the situation yeah. we're talking about?
Yeah. Right, you're not privy to benefits. Yeah.
I think if I'm an athlete, I would be okay with that. And I think if I was a university, who you might be trying to think, how are we going to set aside all this money because we're going to have to pay athletes and they're going to be an employee yeah. and all that mess. This would be the ideal solution. I think both the institution and the athlete could get on board with this. This is a new development. I'm wondering where this goes next.
Well, and what's interesting about that is you obviously, as a scholarship athlete, you have certain benefits through that scholarship. As a contractor, as you're bringing up, that's the one thing you miss out on. And the majority of those, you're not being taxed as well. So that's another element of it. But that's where I also think that a lot of the student athletes are, at least there's at least been enough education out there on how to handle that part of it, which I mm-hmm. think for 18 to 21, 22 year old, that's an eye opener if you're not. But we know that this is trending into this neighborhood of there's going to be some type of pay for play. There's going to be some type of revenue sharing. There's, what is it, a $2.7 billion lawsuit, yeah. or at least a settlement that could happen. How do you offset that so you don't do that on repeated cycles where essentially the NCAA will cease to exist because they won't have the type of money to continue to go through that? And it just seems like with that settlement and now with the conversations that are happening, where you're probably going to see unions as well, there is that avenue right now that exists, especially with that lawsuit, that this becomes a lot more of reality. And we've heard, it was interesting, I was reading Tom Chattel's conversation with Bruce Rasmussen, who's a consultant yep. right now at the SEC. And I think a lot of what he said, we've heard, you know, back when Trev Alberts was here, and Trev Alberts still talks about it when he's at Texas A&M. A lot of athletic directors, and especially in the Big Ten and the SEC, know that this is where it's heading. So it kind of reminds me a little bit about when we started getting towards the NIL, where it was, you're not going to fight this. This is happening. So how do you position yourself? And what is the best way to mitigate this thing getting out of control? Because I thought it was interesting what Bruce Rasmussen brought up is the salary cap part of it, mm-hmm. where that's not something that is discussed a lot. But you also have, with the collective bargaining, you have salary caps. He even brought up luxury taxes. I mean, it's a crazy thing to start wrapping your mind around when we're talking about college athletics. But the amount of money that people assume a lot of these student athletes get, especially in the football side of it with NIL, thinking that, hey, how do we control this so it's not so completely off the rails? Salary caps, collective bargaining, where all of a sudden, maybe you are at some point in this process held to, at least obligated to, hold up your end of the bargain with the institution that you become a member of. So there's a lot of things that are on its face, whoa, what are we doing here? But then you think of some of the things that drive old school college football fans nuts about the amount of money. This is a way to start seeing some type of neutralization, in my opinion, on this too.
Sounds promising. I mean, because if you have a salary cap, I think I'm going to fight that as an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But
and does that limit to what you can get of NIL, too?
Ross Dellinger on his Twitter account has all the information, but I kind of stopped after I saw Congress, which will make it kind of interesting. At 8:20, Jacob Bigelow coming up about 40 minutes, Amy Just as well. So college baseball this weekend, Nebraska wins the series. They're 21 this morning in the RPI. Mm-hmm. Omaha is still only half game back. They host St. Thomas this weekend. They got two more weekends. St. Thomas can't be in the conference tournament. So Omaha could be the number one seed. But most importantly, they could host next year,
yep.
which unfortunately Omaha softball over the weekend didn't sweep South Dakota State. So they have to go back to that thing that is a softball field in Brookings for the next 2 years. No, you have an unbelievable facility here in Omaha that should be the permanent host of softball. Mm-hmm. But yet we're playing in a pasture up in Brookings.
Where it's cold.
Beautiful.
And then Creighton got swept at St. John's. So there is the, and the RPI is now 60 for Creighton. Yep. And they are 4.5 games back of Xavier. And they do not have the tiebreaker because they lost a series to them.
Right.
So you're now staring at Creighton's baseball season, which is one of the most disappointing, frustrating, confusing years that I've seen, of being over, and you haven't even begun the last 2 weeks of your season. Yeah. Two straight years, possibly not making the Big East tournament. They're not mathematically eliminated. They got three at UConn, then they got three at home against Seton Hall. UConn is atop the Big East. But I wonder, what does the Creighton baseball fan want moving forward for Creighton baseball?
There's new stadium, first and foremost.
Okay, so you know, that's out of the picture. You're already getting that.
Okay.
Okay. What does the Creighton baseball fan want moving forward? You want Ed fired? You want Ed's contract not renewed, extended, whatever? You want more money invested into Creighton baseball? I would just, at this point, I'm just curious on what, and it's not just the cash, because there are, I know I'm probably going to get a snicker here, there are people that are diehard Creighton baseball fans that love Ed, they love the program, they're there to support, they're the hearty folks that are there in early March and that they'll be there in 2 weeks. But I'm wondering what you want from Creighton baseball moving forward, because two straight years not making the Big East tournament is a bad, bad look. And especially off this year, where I think this is one of their better rosters that they've had in a while. Injuries aside, they still have a really good roster.
I think
they laid an egg this weekend.
I think what you ultimately want is, and they got UConn this weekend. I think what you want is that series, whenever it takes place, whether it's earlier in the conference series or later in the conference series, let's just use this part of the schedule for 2024. You want that series to dictate who's going to have the number one seed in the Big East tournament. So that's vague. How do you get there? And there are so many, broken record time again. There are so many pieces of this team that you feel are there. I talked about just the physical makeup of this team before when I've been down on the field and seen these guys and like, damn, these guys are put together. Like these are strong guys. You've seen that play out. Midweek success aside, these guys can give me Nolan Clifford every day. Guy's a tremendous player. Teddy Dieters, great player. Nolan Sailors, great player. You've got arms in that are solid. Then it goes back to leadership. Ed Service, who is baseball in Omaha, he's been here for 21 years. He's had teams that have been on the doorstep of making a super regional. This is where I've always felt, and I don't know if Ed would admit this or not, that and I've talked about this, you've talked about this before, the Big East and the transition from Missouri Valley to the Big East was such a big revenue generator and such a big thing for that university, especially with its flagship sports of basketball. What it did to baseball is something that I don't know if Ed can get it back to what it needs to be, because you are now in this really odd transition, and the transition's over. I'm not trying to say this just happened, but watching the Big East play out, the addition of UConn was obviously important for its baseball profile if you're just looking at it from those lens, but this inability to find consistency against baseball programs that, even with more attention being put on basketball, should be better than what it is right now. I mean, I'm just to give perspective on, if for people wondering, how do they stack up against everybody else in the Big East right now? If you look at them being second to last in this conference, which is currently where they stand, yet a 31-14 record. Here's the record of teams that are ahead of them, including Villanova, who, Gary, is 14-30.
I know. Hey, I'm well aware.
Seton Hall, 22-26.
Yeah, I'm well aware. I spent Saturday watching the St. John's Creighton game, and when Ben North hit the home run in the seventh inning, I'm like, okay, they got that, because it was disappointing they lost on Friday.
Yep.
And I'm like, there's nobody at this game. St. John's doesn't even put up clips of highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guys doing the game for St. John's were actually okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, this league, and I know there's a resource thing, but yeah, the records above them outside of UConn, which has the highest RPI, I don't know. We had this discussion, Nick, about Omaha hockey, and
yep.
I used the word stuck.
Yep.
Is Creighton baseball stuck? And maybe our thoughts on Creighton baseball is we make Creighton baseball out to be something that it's not. Because they've been to the NCAA tournament one time in the last decade. They had the great 2019
yep.
team.
And it was a good run in there.
Which, damn, if they weren't making plans to play the Super Regional at Werner Park.
I remember who they were up against in that regional team. Ended up making the Calder Series in Michigan.
They made the final.
Yeah, that was in the championship National Championship Series. Exactly.
But outside of that, I mean, you're telling me the Big Ten had an impact on Nebraska baseball.
Yep.
Wasn't it supposed to be easier for Creighton baseball and the Big East where
absolutely.
You were the program before UConn arrived that paid attention to baseball yep. and invested in baseball?
Yep, you had history. And this is where I go back to leadership of, and we're doing the comparison there from the hockey conversation with Omaha, at least the one saving grace about Omaha hockey is your challenge is to stay afloat in a highly competitive, arguably the
fair
best
point.
Conference in college hockey. And so doing so, being able to host home ice, like that's an accomplishment in that conference. Despite UConn being in there, Gary, and I know that the strength of conference this year is better than most years. This is a bad baseball conference, historically. Right. Let's not try to pretend just because this year it's a little bit better.
This isn't the UConn of the last couple of years where they were a threat to be a national seed.
Right.
We're vibing here.
So this is where I look at the buttons that are pushed in the midweek, the buttons that are not pushed in the weekend, the buttons in the previous years of having head coach – having this day and age of baseball, what it takes to win, what it takes to get that program to the next level, to elevate that program. It's okay to ask the question right now, is that part of it past Ed? We've had conversations with Ed as one of the great baseball guys that you'll ever know. His baseball mind, he has forgotten about more baseball than I'll ever know. He is most definitely qualified to run so many baseball programs in college baseball. This transition in what Creighton baseball has become in the Big East is as if it has now succumbed to a very poor league. The product itself has brought itself down. I'd like to think, even if you trust Ed Service as a college baseball coach, which I would, he's been in there for 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
I would trust him. But at some point, you've got to look at it, the product, and say, is just a shakeup, something different, something to continue to try to get emphasis on resources in the baseball program, but also do so, as you're going into a new stadium, do so under new leadership. That question has to be asked because one NCAA tournament appearance in the last 10 years in this conference for a program that has baseball history, for a program that has done a lot of things. I mean, the recruiting, there are a lot of things that this staff has done when you look at it.
No, I'm with you, Nick. I think this is a fair question because there's no rhyme or reason. Maybe an injury here or there to your ace and you did not develop enough high-end starters for the weekend, but you can't look at midweek and then in a bad conference go, what the heck happened?
Mm-hmm.
So disappointing, frustrating, confusing, all of those. Because you're about to go into a new phase of Creighton baseball.
Right.
I'm telling you, when they get this baseball-softball complex, that's going to be a cool deal. Okay? And that's probably going to generate some excitement.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, don't you
maybe
have
some
to be,
new money as
don't
well.
You have to be playing well to go into it? So the word stuck can be applied to Creighton baseball. And how do you move forward?
Yeah.
Because I can't believe we're saying this, a team that I really like, essentially, with 2 weeks to go, their season is over.
Yeah.
After St. John's gets the run in the ninth and then they walk it off in the 10th and the first game of the doubleheader on Saturday, I was like, okay, we'll see what happens. And you could tell by body language, mm-hmm. that they were that their season ended
because they knew they had to win
the
a series.
Of the, in the bottom of the 10th inning.
Third game, it might as well not have even been played for all intents and purposes. And I can't look at this baseball program as a bad one. It's not. It's not a bad program. You don't win 31 games, even with the schedule that you've played in the midweek, be able to sweep Nebraska, who's on the doorstep of winning the Big Ten regular season title. You're on the doorstep doing that. You knock out not once but twice in a two-game series against Coastal Carolina, a legitimate top 20 team, and yet you can't duplicate that into the weekend. I refuse to believe that everything that Creighton has shown in a large majority of the season, especially in midweeks, is not a team that should be getting swept by St. John's or a team that should be losing a series to Xavier or also losing, I guess it was a sweep because they only played two games, but to Georgetown. When you think of Georgetown, you don't think of baseball. When you think of Xavier, you don't think of baseball. Creighton at least has a baseball history to it. So it's not as if they're an inept program. They're just continuing to fall deeper and deeper and deeper. But the result this year in conference play, I think, has really encapsulated what has been a very disappointing time in the Big East. And at some point, you've got to change that trajectory. And as much as I think there is so much respect, it's in this studio as well with Ed Service, at some point, that change of trajectory is probably going to start at leadership.
I know that Ed's banging his head in the wall about this season.
Oh God, yeah. You think we're confused? How confused must he and his staff be too?
Yeah, because I never thought you'd be sitting here going, "They're 4.5 games out of fourth, which is the final spot, and you still have UConn to play."
Yet you're 31-14. And you've actually played some teams. It's not like you're 31-14, but you played the Summit League. It's just, even though they have played.
By the way, they did break Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina, have they won since then?
I think they won one game since. Okay. I think that's it.
Yeah. It's part of the season. All right, 33 past the hour. Jacob Bigelow is coming up top of the hour. Is the Nebraska Spring Exhibition for Volleyball model something that will be modeled by another head coach at that particular institution? We may have seen something on Saturday out of Matt Rule, who then went and saw the NASCAR race at the Kansas Speedway yesterday.
Of course he did.
It's 8:33. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.